9 and good morning. You are listening to Coyote Radio, coming to you from the campus of California State University, San Bernardino. I'm station manager Lacey Kendall, and we are delighted to be here joined by yourself and in studio by three wonderful ladies. It is this Monday, Global Purple Day. And for those of you that aren't aware of what that means, Purple Day is a worldwide awareness of epilepsy, of the people that it affects, and the awareness that we all need to have, whether we have epilepsy in our family, whether we have it ourselves, or whether it is just something that exists here in the world we live in, which it does. Today we're going to be talking about that in honor of Purple Day around the world. And before we even hit Monday, you're going to know all about everything you really need to know about epilepsy. And every year, I'm so delighted to say that we are joined by a member of our own family here at Cal State San Bernardino, Megan Kennedy, who many people may have seen over the years in the library. She was my favorite librarian. Don't tell the others. But Megan is a longtime advocate for epilepsy because it's hit her personally, and she's going to tell us a little bit about that. But before we get into it, I want to introduce the other two delightful ladies that I've rudely got my back to right now, who are joining us today. We have Lacey Wilkins. Thank you for joining us, Lacey. And a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk to Diane Wilkins, who is Lacey's mom. And she's going to tell us a little bit about what it feels like and the experiences of being a mom who has a child with epilepsy. So welcome to all three of you. We're delighted you're here today.
Thank you, Lacey.
Thanks for joining us. Okay, let's get started. Megan, what is epilepsy?
Well, epilepsy is a neurological disorder. Mm-hmm. It actually affects, as you said, it's a Global Awareness Day coming up because, believe it or not, 1 in 100 people have epilepsy, which equates to 50 million people worldwide.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yes, that is. Okay. And chances are, even if you don't know it, you probably know someone with epilepsy. You're probably walking by someone with epilepsy every day because it's something that people don't see unless someone is actually having the seizure.
Yeah.
Even when someone has a seizure, though, you might not know that they have a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've actually been at work. This was years ago when things were a little worse for me. I'm sitting at my desk having a seizure, and no one in the office knew I was having a seizure.
Oh, wow.
So it can be that subtle.
Yeah.
But most people know of epilepsy as your good old tonic-clonic seizures, or most people know them as grand mal, where people are, you know, basically convulsing around on the ground because that's just what people perceive when they hear epilepsy, but there's actually over 20 types of seizures out there.
Yeah. I'm going to get to this, you know, a little bit more in depth later on mm-hmm. in the interview, but you know, the question that came to my mind when you said that about sitting at your desk is, I got to know, when it's happening to you and you're in a situation like that, are you hoping that other people are aware of it?
I think, you know, well...
Is it scary that you're
scary.
Saying nobody knows what's going on with me right now?
Right.
Or are you just out of it?
I'm out of it, basically.
Really?
I don't
okay.
know anything that's going on. The way I explain it to people is I focus on something, like I'll focus on the microphone here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything around me is black. I have like I'm a black hole, but all I see
wow.
is the microphone. I can't mm-hmm. hear anything, can't say anything, can't, you know, don't know anything that's going on around me. But it's really cool, you know, to know that when I come out of it and I've had someone from work there or a friend there, whenever it has happened, luckily I can say I've been seizure free for years. I can't remember the last time I've had a full blown seizure, knock on wood here.
Yay.
You know, and which allows me to drive again and everything.
Yay. Oh, yeah. Yes.
In fact, I just had a 1400 mile road trip up PCH with a friend this weekend. How's that?
Nice.
So, it's nice when you can be able to get out and do things like that and not let things like epilepsy hold you back.
Right.
But it is really nice that when it did happen and when it was really scary, because even though I was at a time I had 6 to 8 seizures a month, I'm pretty lucky because there's people out there who have hundreds of seizures a day.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I even though it scared the heck out of me, I've learned so much more since then that I realized how lucky I was, too.
Mm-hmm. And you do want people.
You want people aware, and it's really nice to have someone there calming you down, just saying, hey, I'm here. And once you can start talking with someone again, and that there is that someone there for you. So,
well, I'm glad you said that because that's what we're going to make that happen here today with this program. We're going to show everybody what you do should that happen. You don't necessarily have to freak out. There are things that are smart things to do and things that aren't so smart. And we're going to get to the bottom of what myths are and a little bit of everything. What age does epilepsy generally start? Is there a specific age or can it pop
any
up?
Any age.
Anybody.
Epilepsy does not discriminate. Mm-hmm. Any age, race, gender, socioeconomic status, even pets can have epilepsy. It doesn't matter who you are, where
is
you
that
are.
Right?
Anyone can get it at any time.
Wow. And is it hereditary? Can you get it from your parents?
It can be, but it's not always. I mean, I do know of cases where there are siblings who have epilepsy, but in more cases than not, it's not hereditary. And there are studies out there going to determine why it is hereditary in those cases and everything. Mm-hmm. They do have studies going on for that.
Okay.
But in my case, it's not. I'm the only one in my family, and I have a pretty extended family. Mm-hmm. Who has it? So it's not, genetic in my case.
Yeah. On a level that all of us can easily understand here, could you explain to us a little bit basically what causes it, or is it many different things?
Again, it can be different things.
Really?
Some people have it because of, head trauma. Maybe they've had encephalitis, meningitis, different disorder, different diseases and stuff. There are people, I have a friend who is diabetic, and when she would have a seizure when her sugar got low. But that didn't mean she had epilepsy. It was because her sugar was low.
Huh.
As I said before, 1 in 100 people have epilepsy, but 1 in 10 will have a seizure in their lifetime. Having a seizure, though, does not mean you have epilepsy. It's when you have repetitive seizures over a course of time that they determine that you have epilepsy. And like I said, sometimes people, they have it for specific reasons because they've had some sort of head trauma or other thing that's happened that causes it. That maybe they have a tumor in their head. But in most cases, it's called idiopathic. There is no known reason. And as I say that, because that's me, I say it's not idiopathic, it's idiotic is what I call it. So, yeah, you got to have the sense of humor with things like this,
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. So if you believe that that a member of your family or yourself, you've had some seizures and you want to find out if you actually have epilepsy as opposed to just having seizures, how do they diagnose it? What does a doctor do to where he says, you're not just having seizures, you have epilepsy?
Yeah, they will do different things. They will do, an EEG. Typically, they'll start off with an EEG, an electroencephalogram, testing out the brain waves. They will do an MRI or a CAT scan to make sure that there isn't a tumor or something else in your brain that's causing the seizures. They will do blood tests to rule out other things. Because I remember the first time I said they do blood tests for epilepsy.
Wow.
And then I realized, oh, no, it's not that they do blood tests for epilepsy. They're doing the blood tests to rule out other cases that could be causing the seizures.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So I know when I first saw that, it didn't make sense either. But I'm like, oh, ding, light bulb went off. So so there's a number of tests that they'll do, because the biggest thing they're doing is they're not determining that you have epilepsy. They're ruling out other options to make sure that nothing else is causing the seizures. But the EEG, especially when your brain scan might be abnormal, and especially, they'll do things when, like strobe lights, and they want you to be very sleepy and all that. Like, last time I had an EEG, they said stay up as long as you can so you can be sleepy. And they test you at different levels when you're asleep and awake and all that kind of thing, and see how your brain waves react to normal stimuli and everything. And that's how they determined for me, because I had abnormal brain waves and everything, and because of the fact that I had the repetitive seizures.
Gotcha. I did a little research.
Always do, Lacey.
I always do before you come in here.
As a librarian, I'm glad to hear you do research. Yay!
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Well, you got to impress your librarian. That's
of course.
Important thing. Keep the librarian happy, especially when you're on a college campus. So I did a little research, and I found that there are 5 predominant kinds of epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about this. What I found was generalized and partial. There's tonic and absent seizures. And then of partial, there's simple partial, complex partial, and infantile spasms.
I can't tell you much about infantile spasms just because I'm not a kid anymore, But the tonic-clonic is the one that most people think of, and that's where, like I said, someone basically...
That sounds like a lovely drink.
I know, hey.
I'll have a tonic and clonic.
And again, anyone can have those, but those are the ones that most people think of when they think of epilepsy. Absence tends to be people, it tends to be more in children, not to say adults don't have it, but it's more typical in children. And teachers tend to notice it earlier than the parents because the child will tend to be, sometimes it's related to daydreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they have to do the testing to say, is the child really daydreaming or is there something else going on there?
Gotcha.
You know, and then basically they'll have a big flickering with the, it's hard to explain right now over the radio, sorry, but, you know, big flickering with or fluttering with the eyes and things mm-hmm. like that too going on.
You know, and I think last year when you were here, I mentioned I had a friend, a gentleman that rented a room from me, and Billy had seizures.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have epilepsy, but he had seizures because of a brain injury.
Oh, okay.
And Billy used to say that if we went into a room and they had the ceiling fans,
yeah,
if it made the lights flicker, he'd say, I can't stay in here too long because I could end up having seizures. That's the stuff. So I became uniquely aware of when I walked into a room, were there ceiling fans that where the fan was below the light and it caused a flickering?
And that's called photosensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And the 5% of people with epilepsy are photosensitive. And I happen to be one of them. I found out the hard way. I was on a plane and woke up in an emergency room because of the sunlight coming through the propellers.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Very interesting.
I found out the hard way, just like your friend. So, yeah.
So how do they treat epilepsy?
So, did we want to back up to the simple partial and complex partial?
Sorry,
we didn't quite finish the prior question.
Okay.
But simple partial and complex partial are the ones I'm most familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Simple partial is more like an aura, and you're aware of what your surroundings, but yet there's still, you can tell, uh-oh, something's not quite right here. It's different for everyone. For me, it's like either this odd rolling sensation over my body,
mm-hmm.
which if you've ever been laying in bed during a rolling earthquake, that's mm-hmm. the closest thing I can equate
kinda
it
like
to.
That.
I actually woke up during one of those thinking I was having a seizure and then found out, oh, it's an earthquake. I also will sometimes have this sudden intense feeling of fear, mm-hmm. or I will have this odd metallic taste in my mouth. And that's not to say that that's what happens with everyone, and that's why epilepsy is so hard, because it's different for everyone, as you will hear when Lacey tells her story to Lacey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and complex partial is when you do lose awareness, as I mentioned before, the focusing in on, one thing. And as my dad explains it, I have what's called my third base coach routine
mm-hmm.
because I make these weird hand gestures. Mm. People with complex partial have automatisms. They'll be walking around, mumbling, stuttering.
Mm-hmm.
But they have no idea what's going on around them.
Yeah.
As for, you said, treating or taking care of someone with mm-hmm. epilepsy, again, it depends.
What can doctors do for a person that has it? Is there something they can do to lessen the effects?
Most treatments are through medication.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I believe, over 20 medications out there now. There's also people have what's called the vagus nerve stimulator,
mm-hmm.
which I relate it to a pacemaker for your brain. It doesn't actually go to your brain. It goes to what's called the vagus nerve.
Mm-hmm.
But they put it, they implant it in your chest and put the, they link it to the vagus nerve, and it gives you like these little pulses and everything to help, keep your brain normal and everything and not let it. And I have had people who've had the VNS installed, and everything has worked out fine, and it's decrease their seizures, but others, unfortunately, it's worked out, but not as well as others and everything. So, of course, there's also brain surgery, but not everyone's a candidate for brain surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Especially generalized seizures, they will not do brain surgery because it's affecting your whole brain. You can't take your whole brain out.
Right.
But when you have the simple partial or complex partial, those are related to a portion of the brain. And perhaps your temporal lobe, for example, which is where mine are. And it's just they have to do further testing and brain mapping, they call it, to find out exactly where the seizures are coming from. And if it's a part of the brain that won't affect other parts of your life, like your breathing and your heart beating and all that, they can actually remove it. And I've had people who've done the brain mapping, but unfortunately it was an area that they couldn't remove, and others who've done the brain mapping and had surgery and have had quite successful success rate with it and everything. So there's options out there. They're always doing more studies out there, more medications and other treatments they're working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
But again, because everyone is different and everyone's seizures are different, it makes it very hard. So for doctors, sometimes it's
quite a challenge. quite a challenge.
Yes.
Well, we have a lot more to learn here, and I think the main thing that we all want the listeners to go home with at the end of today is We want everybody to understand myths, like if I'm around somebody and they have a seizure, should I stop them from swallowing their tongue? Okay? And there's actually a lot to know about that. You need to be listening here today because there's some important things that you're going to learn about what to do if somebody has a seizure around you. We're going to be speaking in a moment, a little bit more with Megan here in just moments. But Lacey Wilkins is joining us. She's going to talk about what it's like to actually have it, the whole experience. And her mother is going to be joining us a little bit after that. Diane Wilkins will be here to tell us what it's like to be the mom of a child that is suffering the effects of epilepsy. I'm quite certain that can be very scary. We're going to find out what they did about it and what it's like. All here on Coyote Radio, where Megan Kennedy has the hiccups. And so much information and all of that coming your way here in seconds. Stay with us.